Case number 07-5316, American Postal Workers Union, AFL-CIO, Appellant versus United States Postal Service. Ms. Holmes for the appellant, Mr. Hudak for the appellee.
May it please the court, Melinda Holmes on behalf of the American Postal Workers Union, and I've asked to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This case that we've brought before you is actually quite simple. It's become obscured in a rather surprising way. You have before you an arbitration award, a labor arbitration award, by an experienced and esteemed arbitrator, Carlton Snow, who unfortunately passed away since the issuance of the award and this case came before the court. He ordered in his award, in the award section of this arbitration decision, which is essentially its order, and he stated, and I quote, "It is a violation of Article 1.2 of the National Agreement to exclude the position and the disputed work from the bargaining unit." And before the court is a simple question, and the court's role is to enforce this labor arbitration award, the plain meaning of this award, and based on an interpretation of the collective bargaining agreement. It drew its essence from it. Both of these things are easily achievable in this case. There is no dispute in this case about what the disputed work is and what that meaning of that part of the award has. And looking at Arbitrator Snow's decision, it's clear he set forth his analysis on how he came, based on the national agreement, to the conclusion that this disputed work should be assigned to the APW bargaining unit.
You agree, of course, that in the statement of issues, he identified it as two alternative arguments.
I do agree, and I think that that's where the district court, that's a fundamental error in the district court's decision. Arbitrator Snow, and he set out the issues, he described it as one, the position, and then alternatively, the unit, or the work assignment issue. But the district court then sort of worked from the decision to reinterpret the plain meaning of the award instead of going the other way, and looked at that word, alternative and alternatively, and then also a letter that we had written to the arbitrator after the proceeding suggesting a way that he could decide this case to move it along and come to decision. But it's important to note, when you look at Arbitrator Snow's award, he sets out what the union's position is. He doesn't reference our letter, and he does not describe our position as being an alternative to the point of exclusion, which is what the district court found.
Even if it's an alternative, many times courts decide both. In the last case, the government asked us to decide in the alternative, or both, that there was error, and there was no error, and even if there was no error, it was harmless. So
exactly.
I take it the use of the word alternative doesn't answer the question of whether he decided both alternatives.
No, that's right. And in fact, that's what Arbitrator Snow, he stated our position. He understood our position to be exactly that, the even if the position is not in the bargaining unit, that the work should be. And
usually when you rule in the alternative, you say, because of X, we rule for plaintiffs.
That's right.
Even if not X, because of Y, we rule for plaintiffs. Would rule for plaintiffs. That formula is not really present here.
And that's right, and that's why we think that the district court was in error to suggest and to reinterpret the award to say that that's what it meant. I mean, and to the point, actually, of nullifying part of the award, to say that when he said that it is a violation of the collective bargaining agreement to exclude the disputed work from the bargaining unit, that doesn't actually have any meaning, and that there's nothing there to enforce. We think that that's wrong. It's plain that there is something there to enforce. And in fact, there's another part in Arbitrator Snow's award. This is in Joint Appendix at page 115, the 34th page of the award, where Arbitrator Snow says explicitly that, quote, "In view of the fact that the disputed work is not excluded under exceptions listed in Article 1.2 of the APWU-USPS agreement, the employer bound itself to assign the work to the most appropriate craft, namely the clerk craft." that the district court would interpret his award differently to say that he did not actually rule on that issue and that there is nothing for me to enforce is plainly wrong, both under almost 50 years of jurisprudence on enforcing labor arbitration awards and the express language and plain meaning of the award.
What if it's ambiguous?
Well, there is no ambiguity.
I know your position, but what if?
Well, I guess it would depend what the ambiguity is. There's no dispute here as to what the disputed work is.
What if it's ambiguous whether the arbitrator meant to rule in the alternative?
Well, I don't.
On the work issue.
If you
have a good argument, the other side has a good argument, it's ambiguous. What if that is the...
Well, that ambiguity would exist and does exist only looking at his decision. But
assume you lose on the question that the arbitrator decided, that we can tell that the arbitrator decided the work issue.
Right.
And instead we think it is ambiguous as to whether he decided both issues. So some courts under those circumstances remand to the arbitrator.
That's right.
Now, the arbitrator's dead.
That's a problem.
It's a problem. But I assume there's an arbitration process out there somehow.
There is.
What would be the consequence for you if we said if we reverse the district court, that is, district court's wrong, it's not clear that the arbitrator didn't decide on the work issue, but it's ambiguous, and so we remand. What would be the consequence?
Well, the consequences would be that you send us back into the trenches again and we'd have to re-arbitrate this entire grievance again. We've already done that once. We'd have to do it again.
But under the settlement agreement, you're able to do that? This doesn't prevent you? There's nothing that prevents
you? No, that's right. The district court talked about this. This suit originally was two suits, a suit to compel and a suit to enforce. And we've been trying to work out the suit to compel side to move. There are other grievances in the settlement agreement. Now, this is a sort of a special arbitration agreement. The parties have a national agreement that has its own arbitration and grievance procedure. And so it's trying to roll that into this, roll those cases into that. So presumably this case would end up on the docket, which is very long. We'd have to re-arbitrate again what we've already done before Arbitrator Snow. I mean, we put on witnesses, argument, evidence, briefs. Presumably we'd have to do that all over again before another arbitrator so that person could assess whether Arbitrator Snow meant what he said when he said that the disputed work belongs to the bargaining unit. And that could be years. I mean, the right now we're struggling to try to get the next case forward, and there are already cases on the docket. So
let me ask you about the enforceability arguments that are made. Your response, let me be clear, are you relying on the arbitrator's findings as to where the duties were historically lodged?
I'm not sure if I understand.
Well, as question. I understood it, there were two alternative arguments made on enforceability. One had to do with accretion, and the other had to do with derogation of the board's superior authority.
The Postal Service has raised an argument that this is constructively an accretion that runs afoul of the decision by the NLRB to exclude the position from the bargaining unit. But there's no authority supporting that. The work is completely severable from the position, and unit placement is an entirely different issue than work assignment. The NLRB does not have jurisdiction over work assignment issues, and in fact, the Postal Service cites...
Unless there's a strike or something.
I'm sorry?
Unless there's a strike.
Right. I mean, you have the 10-K proceedings, right, where there is a work jurisdiction dispute between unions, and as a resolution, because those parties don't have an arbitration procedure between them necessarily that they can resolve those disputes. These are postal employees, so they're prohibited from striking by law. And in fact, as I was starting to say, the Postal Service cites to a case, Lockheed Martin, which I think they actually were reading the ALJ's decision. The NLRB itself reversed the ALJ and said that it is fine to bring work into the unit and even let positions follow it, that there's nothing unlawful about that. So we're only looking to enforce the work part of this issue. And that is not an accretion. The employees, the AMS specialists, they stay outside of the bargaining unit. The Postal Service can do with them as they please. And it's just that the work needs to be performed by bargaining unit employees.
So on enforceability, your position is that there's no remaining issue to be decided, even though the Postal Service cited the wrong decision. What I'm getting at is, since Lockheed, there have been two other decisions, and should we remand it so that the district court can figure out whether there is an accretion problem or not?
We are not asking the court to enforce that the position should be in the unit. We're only talking about that this work, that it should be assigned to bargaining unit employees as opposed to these non-bargaining unit employees. We are not, what we are asking for doesn't affect their representational status or their organizational status. They don't become part of the bargaining unit.
And that's the only, help me here, so that's the only way an accretion issue would arise?
Well, that's how the Postal Service has tried to suggest to you that there is an accretion issue because it's taking away work from these employees, but that's the Postal Service's prerogative to decide what they assign to these employees. We don't have a say in that. So we are just seeking to reclaim this bargaining unit work that we say should always have been part of the APW bargaining unit, assigned to the APW bargaining
and
unit.
So
but what happens to those other employees, that's the Postal Service's prerogative.
So to the extent that the Postal Service's accretion argument is premised on the notion that the union is seeking to reclaim some duties that historically have not been within the unit?
Well, that's, that is itself actually a distortion of the record and the evidence because I think Arbitrator Snow talks about
this. That's what I was going to
ask. Like, we didn't. It wasn't so much, that really wasn't the issue for the parties because the APW didn't know about this for a long time, then grieved it. It was pending for, a dozen years before the unit clarification petition was filed. So it's not, there was definitely evidence that bargaining unit employees had performed this work.
But what I'm trying to get at, and I'll ask the Postal Service about this too, the arbitrator's decision deals with whether or not these duties were historically.
That's right.
And make some findings. And isn't the court, or is the court in any way bound by those findings in terms of deciding whether there's any remaining issue about accretion that has to be resolved by the district court?
We tried to remove that. Those findings related to the position, whether the AMS position should be in the unit, and we don't dispute. The unit has been clarified. They're out of the unit. We are not trying to get them back in. We are only talking about the work. So affirming the award, and I realize maybe this is a little awkward, but it's not. It's affirming literally the award and the disputed work, and not, we're not trying to back end and get the positions and say that now, well, the court said that, it's affirmed and that overrules the clarification of the unit. That is not at all our...
So just help me out here, what this really means, all right? There's some employees who occupy these positions.
That's right.
What happens to them is not your is not the union's concern.
We
at this
no
point.
That.
You have no say. But if, what, new employees are to be hired to do this work, then they are part of the unit?
Well, the work needs to be assigned to bargaining unit positions. So if there's more work, it's, again, up to the Postal Service. They're in charge of hiring. So it's more, the position that they hire people into. They could hire someone as an AMS specialist or, as a general clerk. And what we're talking about is duty assignments and the blocks of work and who that those get, these various positions, who that gets assigned to. But it doesn't, again, that would be the Postal Service prerogative, where it's hiring people, how it wants to get the work done in terms of, manning this work. But the work itself needs to be performed by a bargaining unit position.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
On this accretion, on the accretion point.
Yes.
The district court did not decide that since he decided against you, right?
That's right.
So and we wouldn't have to decide that. We would remand to the district court because it does involve factual questions, I take it, about whether...
That's what I'm trying to resolve, right. Whether there's anything as to enforceability that needs to be
Well, there appears
by
to
the
be a dispute
court.
Between the two of sides here as to whether this is historically your unit work or not, and that's not a question that the district court has yet resolved.
Well, that's right, and actually it's not a question that we've asked the court to resolve because the NLRB has resolved it by ruling that these and clarifying the unit that the positions are out of the unit. I think that this has been coming up in terms of that constructively it's the same thing if you put the work in as the unit, as the position. But there's no fact-finding that needs to be done or reviewing Arbitrator Snow's fact-finding on the issue because we've settled that part.
On the issue as to
accretion.
No, spell it out for me. You're using words where you understand the meaning very clearly, but obviously I don't. So you're saying there is no fact-finding remaining to be done by the district court were you to prevail on appeal because the issue as to where the AMS specialist classification is to be placed, that's already been resolved.
That has been resolved.
And so there is no further accretion issue outstanding?
That is right. That is correct.
Well, but your opponents have a whole section of their brief devoted to this.
They do, like I said, are trying to elevate the idea of work assignment to be the same as unit placement, to say that we've already figured out the unit placement issue.
The issue that they raise has not been decided by the district court.
Well, the district court was only reviewing Arbitrator Snow's award.
No, the district court...
They haven't cross-appealed. And I'm just trying to understand what's left if you prevail on appeal. And whether there is any remand. And in their brief, they say, well, there are these remaining issues of enforcability. And they say they're... Go ahead.
I understood them to say that this is a second reason for affirming the judgment below.
That's right.
Even if you're right, it's illegal because it's been... because this is an accretion question, and they've already decided the other, right? So that issue, the district court never had to reach because the district court didn't... arguing, deciding your favor to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you're right, and that's how I understand it too. That it's the other reason why to uphold the district court. But again, remembering that this is all about reviewing Arbitrator Snow's award, and mm-hmm. As I understand the Postal Service's argument, and I certainly will let them make it for themselves, is that they're saying that even that it would be wrong to uphold Arbitrator Snow's award on the work. Because that would be fundamentally the same as upholding his award on the position, and we've decided and agreed that the position is out. Because the work is so tied to the position, they're not severable, and it would be the backdoor way of getting these positions in, which is plainly incorrect, and there is no authority that supports it. To the contrary, all the authority is against that proposition.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I just wanted to begin by acknowledging the error that appellant has pointed out that we did inadvertently cite to the administrative judge's decision in Lockheed and not the board's decision. But the board nonetheless took the same approach in reaching its contrary conclusion. That is, it looked at the substance of what was going on, in practical terms, what was going on there.
Asked to do that, and it said, no, all we're going to do is talk about the classification.
Well, it said that this was a work assignment, but it's a work assignment because of what happened. They had a job audit. They looked at specific duties in that job audit, and as a result of the job audit...
You're talking about Lockheed Martin. I'm talking about this case.
Yeah, and that's why Lockheed, we believe, the board's decision there is distinguishable. In Kaiser, the board distinguished that and found that although the union in Kaiser said that this was a work assignment issue, when all of the duties were being assigned, they said it was more of a unit classification issue there. And that's what we have here.
That's not what Lockheed says. You had cited this section of Lockheed for the proposition that the respondent's characterization of the reclassification as involving only job tasks and not the individuals is a distinction without substance. P&A employees performing the work were clearly transferred into the unit. And the board says the respondents accept the judge's finding, contending that this case involves only the lawful return of bargaining unit work which had seeped out. And we find merit in that exception. So the board is saying that if it is merely the return of work that had seeped out, then it's not accretion, right?
And that's correct, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So yes, you're in agreement on that point.
You were in agreement. And on the facts of that case, the board determined that it was just reclaiming certain pieces of work that had seeped out.
Right. And is there a dispute about whether that's what what's happening here?
Yes, there is a dispute.
A factual dispute.
I would say it's a factual dispute on undisputed facts, Your Honor.
They appear to agree with you about that, but their view about what's undisputed is different than yours.
Well, I think it's undisputed here that, in effect, the award, and putting aside the board decision for a second, because of the board decision, they can't get past first base in this matter. But we'll discuss the conflict with that in a second. But on the accretion point, whether you assign a position or assign 100% of the duties of that position, it's functionally the same. The substance is the same. If you take, for example, an apple picker. Suppose an apple picker has three duties: picking apples, sorting apples, and smashing them into cider. If you take away the smashing duties alone, perhaps they still retain the position of apple picker. But if you take away all three duties, they merely are an apple picker in title and don't have a position, don't have a job, because you've taken all of their duties away. And that's substantively the same as taking the position away.
All right. The district court says, in his opinion, the issue here, and he defines what it is, where is there an accretion issue in the issue before the district court?
This is just an alternative ground for affirmance. He ruled on the first base issue, which I'll turn to now. The first base issue is that this award directly conflicts the board decision, which is a superior authority.
And the undisputed facts that you're relying on, where do we find those?
The undisputed facts are in the award itself. And if you look at the award, it is clear that the arbitrator there is doing a positional assignment. It's adopting what the appellant advocated at the arbitration, that you need only reach the position issue because that's decisive.
If you were to lose, that is, if we were to not agree with you that the arbitrator did not decide the work issue, you are saying there's an alternative ground on which we could affirm. But that alternative ground is one the district court didn't reach yet. So presumably it is also a ground on which we could just remand to the district court and let the district court decide that in the first instance.
I think that's correct, Your Honor, but this panel is sitting de novo review, and if there are independent grounds for affirming.
Well, on that theory, we don't need to worry about district courts at all. Right, we could just, you could just skip the district court. So normally we like to hear what the district court thinks.
I appreciate that, Your Honor. And if you do not rule in the Postal Service's favor on the conflict issue and need to address the accretion issue, I think remand would be appropriate. However, we do believe the conflict issue resolves this, even if you adopt the appellant's interpretation of the award, which we don't think is supported, which we think is an unnecessary finding of work assignment. They're assigning 100% of the work. And again, that's taking the position. It's functionally the same. You call it a 100% work recapture or call it a positional classification. They're using a hatchet here, not a scalpel to carve out pieces of work that seeped away from the bargaining unit. They're using a hatchet to say all of these people's work in this classification, in this unit, is bargaining unit work. And they're saying that that's an independent finding distinct from any positional assignment. And that just doesn't make any practical or substantive sense. It's the same finding. And in fact, if you look at
the NLRB's decision was based solely on the fact that the union wasn't contesting the unit placement issue. It didn't address the merits of that at all, right?
It addressed only the issue. It concluded that since they had disclaimed the positions properly outside,
yeah.
But it also did not accept the appellant's argument that it should just dismiss the case as moot because they've disclaimed it. They went ahead and made the finding that, no, we do have jurisdiction to decide this, and we're deciding here the position is outside of the bargaining unit.
Can I ask you about your reading of the arbitrator's decision?
Yes, sir.
On paragraph, well, it's on page 22 of the decision, 103 of the appendix. It's the last paragraph of the section B called Construing the Intent of the Parties.
Yes, Your Honor.
And it says, the AMS specialist position does not call for workers to perform duties, which sounds like a work duties issue, within the exclusions set forth in the contract. Accordingly, it is reasonable to conclude that the parties intended the work and the positions to be in the bargaining unit.
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that that has to be read in light with the sentence above it that says the standard rule of contract interpretation teaches us that any position devoted to performing duties not listed within the exclusions is part of the bargaining unit. And again, he's talking about the entire position, the entire set of duties here, not an individualized analysis of, oh, this data entry duty, that was union work, and now it's seeped away, so we're going to reclaim it. He's saying this entire position should be classified as a bargaining unit position. And that's exactly what the board held was incorrect. And that's the superior authority.
Why does the arbitrator separate out two alternative issues then?
Well,
I
believe he separated as two alternative issues to say, well, I'm going to reach the first issue, which is the positional assignment, and I don't need to reach the second one. Describing in the alternative, I think he used that word intentionally. And also, if you look at Joint Appendix page 89, which is page 8 of the—
I think you're saying that the two are indistinguishable.
Well, I think they're indistinguishable to the extent it's 100% of the duty. But if he had concluded in his award that, no, the position is not a bargaining unit position—
There's nowhere in the arbitrator's decision where he says what you're saying here.
I think he does. I think he says in the penultimate page of the award, on Joint Appendix 117, that he says the totality of the record in this case favors including the disputed positions in the APW unit, work unit. And then he goes on at the concluding sentence of the next paragraph.
Where are you? I'm sorry.
On Joint Appendix page 117.
Okay. Sorry.
Page 36.
Yep.
Page 36. And then he goes on, flexibility is important in this area of the party's relationship, and the congeries of the facts in this particular case favor an appropriate bargaining unit that includes AMS specialists. He's addressing the position.
Well, but it sounds like he's saying, I'm going to decide the position after I decide the work issue, that the work belongs with the bargaining unit, and therefore, in other words, it's sort of the opposite of the way you're deciding it. You're arguing that he decided the unit and the work goes with it. He sounds like he's saying this is work that belongs to the union, and therefore the position belongs to the union.
I think he's saying that all of the duties, I mean, he goes through a community of interest analysis as is required, as the law mandates, and he's saying, what is this position doing? I mean, because a position, he's recognizing the truism that a position is only made up of its duties. And if you deprive someone of 100% of their duties, you're depriving them of their position.
Well, so, what do you think the board meant then when it put only the classification outside of the bargaining unit?
Well, that's the only question that the board was asked to address, as they were there on a positional assignment. And we think it's functionally equivalent of the award. And they weren't interpreting the award. The award review wasn't before them. So they weren't saying that this portion of the award is not enforceable. They were just saying, well, as the NLRB, as the superior authority here, based upon the disclaimer, the position of AMS specialist is outside of the bargaining unit.
Classification of AMS specialist is outside the bargaining unit.
Which is synonymous with the unit does not include the position of AMS specialist. I think those are synonymous concepts here. And again, the board denied.
At some point, people want us to look at these as two separate issues, and then at other times you want to say the two are invariably intertwined and you can't separate them.
Well, I don't think, I think.
By the way, your brief seemed to take the idea that they were separate. It seems a little different from your oral argument. But.
No, I think that if you view them as if you view the award as only making one finding, the position assignment, which is what Judge Kennedy did below, then it's undisputed that that's in conflict with the board decision.
Right.
It's all, and if it's ambiguous, it's undisputed, it's unenforceable. It's only this third interpretation, which we don't think that reaching an unnecessary question of work assignment, that we still think it's still unenforceable because in all practical effects, it still conflicts with the board assignment. And just
I think your argument in the brief was that the arbitrator didn't reach that second question. Your argument now seems to be that the two are.
I think we argued, and in the alternative, and on page 25 and 26 of our brief, we argue that it's still unenforceable because the board's superior authority in all practical effects trump this, in noting that it's a truism that the position is defined by the duties assigned to a person holding that position. And just one last remark on the award. The award itself, the conclusory paragraph, talks about the arbitrator concludes that the AMS specialist position is part of the bargain unit, and then goes on to explain the consequence of that, and that it's a violation of Article 1.2 of the national agreement to exclude the position and the disputed work from the bargaining unit. So obviously he's making...
If you had a therefore there, it would have helped you.
I agree. An addition of words would have been better, but again, if it's ambiguous, it's still unenforceable at this point.
What page are you on now?
That would be Joint Appendix 118.
Wait.
The page 37 of the award, entitled award.
Exclude the position and the disputed work.
Right, but he first starts, concludes... His first conclusion is that the AMS specialist position is part of the bargaining unit. And then we believe that the plain reading of that is describing the effect of that decision.
You're inserting the word therefore, I see.
Yeah.
Right. If we were to hold that it was ambiguous, and what would be the next thing that would happen?
Well, we believe that if it's ambiguous between the alternatives of one finding or two distinct findings, we believe that both of those scenarios present an unenforceable situation, as we've set forth. However, if it's ambiguous, there are provisions in the CBA and the collective bargaining agreement between the parties to arbitrate disputes, and it could be re-arbitrated, as appellant counsel has stated here today. Thank you, Your Honor, and we ask that you affirm the district court's judgment.
Thank you. Counsel for appellant, we'll give you a minute.
I think the important thing is not to think so much about this case, actually. Remembering, this is a suit to enforce an arbitration award. This whole issue that we've been discussing this morning about accretions and whether the district court needs to make findings on that, that wasn't what was before the district court, and it would not be. The district court was looking at an arbitration award and determining whether or not it should be enforced. As you asked, Judge Garland, that, you know, what if the issue on position, on the unit placement of the position wasn't an issue here, you know, what then? And we would still have had a very valid, as we did, grievance, and we arbitrated that. I actually did the arbitration. We spent 2 days. We had testimony. We reviewed the work. Arbitrator Snow reviewed the work in his award. It was a very distinct, you know, separate part of this that was part of our case, was part of the Postal Service's defense in arbitration, and Arbitrator Snow gave us an award that is clear on its face. Well, I'd like to point out, too, that... I'm sorry.
This dispositional problem that I think Judge Kavanaugh started asking, and I've been asking as well. If we thought that the arbitrator's decision was ambiguous as to whether he decided both issues, what does happen next?
Well,
their position is that even if it is ambiguous, given the NLRB's first decision, the second decision wouldn't matter. Now, what if we did not decide that question because the district court didn't decide that question? Would you rather have this go to another complete arbitration before having that decided, or would you rather know before you go to that stage whether that's the answer? And does the district court at this point have the authority to decide that question?
To decide the position, the accretion issue?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think the district court does have authority to decide that. That he wasn't asked. He was asked to enforce an arbitration award, not to decide independently whether these positions are accretion.
Their defense to enforcement is accretion, right?
Well, it's an argument based on a truism that is unsupported by any authority, actually contradicted by the NLRB's own authority that they've put forth, that, as Mr. Hudak said, that it's functionally the same. So you can't, you know, you can't do an end run on the unit clarification petition. What the Postal Service, I think, is obscuring for you is two things. They did not sue to vacate this arbitration award. We are only talking about whether it should be enforced or not, not whether it was wrong, so wrong that it should, because it violated law or whatnot, that it should be vacated. So it's simply whether or not the court is going to enforce it. Now, some circuits have dealt with this differently. Sometimes they remand for clarification if they think there's an ambiguity. Those are almost all, though, cases about remedy. You know, did make whole mean that there was a mitigation requirement? But we know what this means. We litigated this in arbitration for months, so we know what the disputed work is. The Postal Service, they lost, and they're trying to prevent their loss by convincing you that it's one and the same here, and that Arbitrator Snow, despite his explicit language, I mean, even some of the passages that I think, Judge Garland, that you were pointing to, that paragraph, it starts out talking about position, talks about work, and then there's a conclusion, position and work should be in the bargaining unit. We are not trying to enforce the part of award, the award on the position. We are only talking about the work. There is no authority that is an incorrect decision on the part of Arbitrator Snow to award us the work. They didn't challenge it as such until it came up on appeal before the court to try to convince you that it's one and the same thing.
Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement.
Thank you.